The dame boobed breastily into my office. Through the cigar haze and the asbestos mist, I admired her great fat bazungas. I was objectifying her, it was true, but she came to me with a case. What would be the biggest case of my career? I thought I was a hard-boiled and jaded detective. After all these days, all I could appreciate was breasts anymore. And luckily, there was a fantastic pair in front of me. Wait, that's not what's important right now. Well, as unimportant as boobs can be. But the point is, dear listener, I became even more hard-boiled after this. I went from a hard-boiled to a harder boiled to the hardest egg that ever egged. And with this case, twists, turns, bamboozles, tricks, hoodwinks, ruses, swindles, feints, and general chicanery, I would never be the same. I'm Captain Bagel, Private Eye. I'm here to share this tale in hopes that someone will help me make sense of this nonsense. Oh, and boobs. I need someone to help me understand boobs. Like, why are they so beautiful? Okay, I'm getting distracted again. You might be able to tell I'm a connoisseur of the feminine form, but I'm also a connoisseur of crime and punishment. And I don't mean the book. I mean real life. This was a truly incredible crime. And I find that I'm rambling again. So let's just begin the story. The story of Schrodinger's gun. What follows is as faithful of a recreation of events as I can remember. Details have been changed to protect the guilty. Regardless, the dame boobed breastily and said this.
He's gone. I may never see him again. Help me.
Slow down there, sweet cheeks.
I'm just so distraught. I can't handle my emotions very well because I'm a woman.
Now, sometimes my clients would come to me in a state of distress. As I am a smooth operator, I always knew exactly what to say to relax them. Calm down! You're being irrational! Oh, there, there.
I'm sorry. I didn't ask for all these feelings.
Well, why don't you just start with your name?
I'm Antoinette, and my cat is named Chekhov.
Well, I'm Captain Bagel, and what's this about your cat?
He's gone missing, you see.
Is he a talking cat or one of the quiet ones?
He talks. What, do you think I'd get this way over a regular boring old cat?
I've seen stranger things. Antoinette, when did you last see your cat?
We had an argument. Now he hates me. Hates me! I told him I was worried about secondhand smoke. He said you would smoke outside, but I begged him to just quit entirely.
Now I know what will soothe your nerves. How about a cigarette?
No.
All right, suit yourself. Mind if I smoke?
I don't want to be around secondhand smoke, which is literally the only thing you know about me.
Oh, no, not true. I also know you have giant hooters. I love nicotine. Does a body good. Okay, tell me about your cat, Chekhov.
He's a black cat with white ears.
Well, I need as many details as you can remember.
He has a gruff, manly voice, like yourself. His eyes are blue and watery, but not in an unmasculine way.
Well, thank goodness for that. I have known men with feminine eyeballs, and it's plagued them their entire lives.
He has very masculine claws, sharp and pointed. He never puts on nail polish.
Ha! I should think not.
His short, dark fur is outside his skin, not on the inside.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it'd be a medical issue.
He carries a .44 Magnum everywhere he goes. It is strapped to his front right leg.
Ah, a very masculine gun. No wonder you miss him. But I have never heard of a talking cat with guns. They lack opposable thumbs.
He can pull the trigger with his teeth, you see.
Fascinating. Go on.
He drinks Johnny Walker and Coke.
Ooh, both extremely masculine drinks. A credit to him.
Overall, his appearance, demeanor, and behavior are all very masculine, which matches his sex assigned at birth.
Ah, so he isn't a transgender cat, then?
No, he's a cisgendered, as a talking cat should be.
Well, that's a relief. I'm glad I'm looking for an upstanding citizen and not someone who questions conforming to gender roles. Following that logic, I suppose he's a hit with the ladies.
Well, he has slept with 7,467 female cats.
Mm-hmm, a real tomcat. Are there any other stereotypes about men that apply to him?
The only emotion he's ever expressed is anger.
A cat after my own heart. Well, that's a thorough description. And judging by the fact that you express emotions other than anger, I can tell that he became uncomfortable and left. So that's motive. Do you have any idea where he might have gone?
He goes to a bar frequented by other talking cats. It's called the Rainbow Alley. I would go myself, but it's in a bad part of town. So I need a big, burly person like yourself to go investigate.
Ooh, naturally. As a man, I have more testosterone in my body than you do. Therefore, I'm stronger. And it would be extremely unfeminine for you to lift weights.
Yes, moving the body around in certain ways is masculine. I move my body around in other ways, which are feminine, like ballet.
Thank God there are rules that are based on our genitals. Otherwise, how would we know how to behave?
We wouldn't, Captain Bagel. We wouldn't.
All right. Well, I have a motive, a description, and a location. That's enough for now. Call my office if you think of anything else. Here's my card.
Bring Chekhov back to me.
Don't sweat it, sweet cheeks. We'll get him back in a jiff. But he wouldn't be back in a jiff. Not by a long shot. The jiff I was imagining was like salty peanut butter, which I prefer to take crunchy. I'm butch like that. Instead, the jiff was more like an animated image of a hot dog. An animation where no one knows where it starts and where it ends. I was about to delve into the dark criminal underworld of talking cats, and I would be forever changed. Austin, Texas, a seething pit of sodomy and marijuana, where Wiccans and hippies fornicate under the full moon. I knew this town, knew it like I knew that I was heterosexual. As soon as I heard that Chekhov frequented the Rainbow Alley, I knew exactly where to find it, on Google Maps. The map took me down Rainy Street to the Rainbow Alley, which had a confusing number of flags on display, dancing in the breeze. The banner was displayed over the front door, but I didn't bother to read it. I lumbered into the place, where many extremely furry cats were wearing an inordinate amount of leather. Behind the bar was a talking pink .22 Derringer. I approached the bartender. Johnny Walker, neat!
Sure.
You're not going to ask me if I want a chaser?
You asked for it neat.
Oh, that's right.
Do you want a chaser?
No! I'm a man! I drink whiskey by itself, and then I make a big deal about it to anyone who will listen.
All right, then.
Aren't you impressed?
I can't say that I am.
Wow. There must be some really tough customers here, if that didn't impress you. This is a real underbelly.
If you say so.
A real crawling, horrific nightmare of an urban hellscape.
Uh-huh.
A seedy place of decadence, adultery, and jaywalking.
All right, so did you need anything else?
I need your name, doll.
I'm Schrodinger. She, her.
Little did I realize I was talking to the gun that this story would be named after. Is your last name she, her? What's that business?
Those are my pronouns?
You don't have to tell me you're abroad. I mean, I can tell using my detective eyes. Anyway, have you seen a cat named Chekhov around here? He was toting a .44 Magnum and smoking cigarettes.
Oh, you were hired to look for him?
By a two-legged, skin-having woman with enormous bazongas.
Ah, well, Chekhov is dead.
Well, this was an easy mystery. Sort of anticlimactic, actually. Well, time to go back and collect my fee.
Wait, you don't want to know how he died?
Well, I guess that detail might be important. Lay it on me.
Let's talk in the back.
Ooh, if you're leading me back there, sweet lips, I'll make it worth your while.
What lips are you referring to? I'm a talking gun.
Well, it looks like you talk out of your gun hole. You have lipstick around there anyway. I thought I'd give you a compliment.
You don't have to butter me up. I'm already willing to help you.
And I'm not going to take even a second to try to understand why. I'll blindly trust you instead.
Sounds good to me. Come into the back.
Schrodinger the gun led me into the darkest section of the bar, where I saw two boy cats kissing. Men can kiss each other here?
Sure. It's a gay bar, after all.
Wait, I'm in a gay bar?
You couldn't tell from all the pride flags outside? And the male cats wearing leather? And the banner over the front door that reads, "Welcome, homos"?
I didn't bother to read that. I can't be in here. People will think I'm a gay cat.
I don't think there's any danger of that, sweetie.
Oh, my reputation as an upstanding heterosexual human's at stake. Goodbye, Miss Schrodinger.
Wait, I can unravel the whole mystery for you if you just come to the back room with me.
And so I did the only thing I could do. I left. I knew I couldn't spend one more minute in there. Those cat men with their luxurious fur and raw machismo were too much for me. I knew that if I spent one more second in that establishment, I would become a homosexual. And that terrified me. And so I abandoned the one lead I had when I was minutes away from unraveling the entire mystery. It was back to the drawing board for Captain Bagel. I left the Rainbow Alley with my heterosexuality intact, but just barely. There was one fellow who's giving me the eye, and as we all know, that's one step away from booty play. I shouldn't have had to tell you that I had no interest whatsoever. I certainly wasn't thinking about booty play with a roguish man who had a twinkle in his eye. Oh, well, look, what was I talking about? Oh, the case. Anyway, I obviously had no more leads. I wandered out into the alley behind the place where two extremely straight cats were in the middle of a conversation.
I deserve to hear it. I know it's over. Just say it.
Mitch! My old buddy from high school.
Hi, Billy.
The name is Captain Bagel now.
Oh, sure. Mr. Captain Bagel. I didn't know you joined the military.
I didn't.
I didn't know you commanded a ship.
I didn't.
I didn't know you climbed to be the division head of a police force.
That never happened.
Oh, well then why captain?
Because I'm a captain.
Mitch, can you get rid of this guy?
I'm trying. Keith, he's an old friend.
I'm glad to see two incredibly straight men outside of a gay bar having a perfectly innocuous conversation.
Right.
Ugh, typical.
Oh, not now, honey.
Two heterosexual, cisgendered, manly men with beards, wearing leather, and extremely red lips.
Mitch, if you don't get rid of this guy...
Look, Keith, just be cool for a second. I'm sure that he's just...
Oh, and those gorgeous eyelashes and sculpted brow and strong jawlines.
Hey, Mitch, are you hitting on us?
Wait, I wouldn't dream of flirting with two heterosexual men.
Hey, I'm a homo. Get it?
Wait, what?
H-O-M-O. See this patch on my leather jacket? It says, gay. That's me. I'm gay.
Mitch, what are you doing associating with this homosexual?
Do I have news for you?
Oh, Keith, no, no. Don't do this, please.
But it's obvious. Hey. Just get rid of him.
He's a good friend, Keith. Let's just hear what he has to say.
No, what's going on, Mitch?
He's gay.
Wait, what?
Your friend.
Wait, who?
Mitch Montague.
Wait, how?
Is gay.
Oh my God.
I really wish you hadn't done that, Keith.
I've had it.
Well, don't worry, Mitch. I don't believe him.
Oh, well... Good.
The lengths the gays would go to. I mean, slandering my friend, painting everybody with the same brush.
That's right, Billy. That's definitely what happened. Slander.
You know, they'd have us all drinking Bud Lights with pronouns on them. Pronouns! Someone referred to me with a pronoun once. I punched them in the face. And then I referred to them with a pronoun, which I just did.
Good job, Billy Bagel.
Bagel, Captain Bagel is my preferred name, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Captain Bagel. Say, what are you doing in this neck of the woods anyway?
I'm working on a case. I'm looking for Chekhov the cat, an extremely masculine cat carrying a .44 Magnum.
Oh, Chekhov, yeah, that's an old name, though.
Oh, wait, he doesn't go by that anymore?
Nope, not anymore.
Well, then, what's the new name?
It's Schrodinger.
Oh, interesting. You know, someone in the bar was named that.
You mean the bartender?
Yeah.
That's her.
No. I'm looking for Chekhov the cat, not Schrodinger the gun. Chekhov is a man cat. Schrodinger is a talking lady gun.
Right, she transitioned.
I can't even parse that.
No, I guess you can't.
So, who did what?
What I'm trying to tell you is that Chekhov the cat became Schrodinger the gun.
But that's impossible.
Here's a tip, Billy. I mean, Captain Bagel. Look up gender-affirming care, then come back to this bar.
Well, that's a spicy tip from a good friend. Thank you. Here's a C note.
Thanks. I'm going to find my friend. Have a good one, Mr. Captain Bagel.
I will. But little did I know, I wouldn't. I would have a terrible one instead. This case was already a real humdinger. Homos? Slander? Talking cats? How little I knew then. How innocent I was. How youthful, with sweet red cheeks and a light gait, dancing through the tulips. Well, in an extremely straight male way. I want to emphasize that. In an extremely straight male way. My childhood friend suggested I go to the library to look up gender-affirming care. But first, I had a responsibility as a red-blooded detective. It was my duty to try to sleep with my client. So I called her into my office. We have a real boondoggle of a case. I am no closer to finding your cat Chekhov than when I started.
Oh... What shall I do without my dearest Chekhov? The case is hopeless, hopeless!
You're such a delicate rose. No, I'm not here to tell you the case is hopeless, but I do need something from you.
I would do anything to get my beloved cat. I would die for my cat. But whatever could I possibly do in the rough and tumble world of the underground of Austin, Texas?
Now, she wasn't picking up on my advances, so I decided to use an advanced seduction technique known as negging. It involves being a jerk. You are not being honest with me!
Whatever do you mean?
You're holding out on me, and you know more than you're letting on, and that makes you a very bad woman.
I couldn't possibly say.
If you don't give me all the information... You'll have to satisfy me in some other way.
I know you demand satisfaction as a strong and haughty man.
Yeah, you'll have to gratify me with your womanliness.
You're right.
You're right. I've been keeping a secret.
See, I was just nagging her. I didn't expect this. I expected exactly this. Now go ahead and tell me.
Chekhov loves to gamble. He owes a lot of money to the Swedish mafia.
Now, why didn't you tell me?
I wanted to protect you. The Swedish mafia, it's so dangerous. They kill people until they're dead.
I can handle this action, doll.
That's all I was hiding. I suppose that will be all. I can be of no more use to you, so I'm leaving.
Wait!
Goodbye.
And she left. Even though I didn't get my rocks off, I had learned something valuable, so the meeting wasn't a complete waste. To this day, I was amazed she resisted my powers of seduction. It was such a clear neg. But now I had two leads, the Swedish mafia and gender-affirming care. I had to make a decision. With two leads, I decided to investigate the Swedish mafia first. It was far more masculine to rush headlong into the jaws of danger. So that's exactly what I did. I went directly to the Swedish mafia headquarters, and I confronted the very first person I saw. Tell me what you did to Chekhov.
Welcome to IKEA. I'm Harold. How can I help you today?
You can help me by spilling the beans.
The cafeteria is a ways in. We're famous for our meatballs, of course, but our beans aren't bad either. Try not to spill them.
Don't get cute with me.
What do you want from me?
What happened to the cat Chekhov? He was very manly, had a .44 Magnum, owed debts to the Swedish mafia, which you are obviously a member of.
Is IKEA the only Swedish thing you've heard of?
No.
What else have you heard of that's Swedish?
You mentioned the meatball thing earlier. Yeah, Swedish meatballs.
We at IKEA are not affiliated with any mafias, Swedish or otherwise.
Hey, everyone knows IKEA is Swedish, and therefore...
We sell furniture. Nothing criminal is happening here.
Hey, don't worry. I'm not a cop. Just a private eye.
And I'm not a member of the Swedish mafia. Just a retail worker.
Come on, we're buddies.
I have no idea who you are.
I'm Captain Bagel, private eye.
Look, sir, if you're not going to buy anything, I need to ask you to leave.
Hey, you can't get rid of me that easily.
Yes, yes I can. Security!
Hey, don't call your thugs on me!
Security!
I could tell he was trying to get rid of me. I drew a Magnum of my own.
Whoa, sir!
That got your attention, didn't it?
Please don't do anything rash.
Now fess up. What happened to Chekhov?
I won't tell you anything, you American pig. I don't know how you found out about the Swedish mafia here in IKEA, but we will rub you out.
No thanks. I'm straight. Was that not obvious from my Magnum?
By that I meant put you to death.
I know Chekhov owed money to you goons. What do you know about him?
You'll never make me talk. Ow, my leg, my leg.
Now talk.
Even if I tell you, you wouldn't believe me.
Try me.
Chekhov was gambling. He wanted money for gender-affirming surgery.
Gender what's it now?
He changed from a male cat to a female gun. Chekhov was an egg the whole time, you see.
An egg?
An egg is a transgender person who doesn't know they are transgender yet.
Wait, they're not born knowing?
Not always. But anyway, after the surgery, they started going by Schrodinger. Then she paid us off. Oh, God, it hurts!
Wait, the bartender at the gay bar! My God!
Please don't shoot me again.
And there it was. Schrodinger was Chekhov all along. But what was gender-affirming surgery? How did he or she transform from a cat into a gun? And how will I find Schrodinger without going back to that gay bar and jeopardizing my heterosexuality? My work wasn't over, not by a long potato. It was clear I had to do some research. It was time to hit the books. Unfortunately, I'm illiterate, so I needed to chat up a sexy librarian to get the info I needed about gender-affirming surgery. I immediately met a glorious dame with horn-rimmed glasses wearing a tight sweater. Even through the sweater, I could see her fat hooters. I gave her the elevator eyes. Good morning, boobiful. I'm Captain Bagel.
Can I help you?
You already have. What magnificent knockers.
Sir, I'm not here to be objectified.
Well, that's what I came here for, to understand objectification. You see, a male cat is turned into a female gun, and I don't know why or how.
Oh, you mean she had a blastoplasty? Pretty standard stuff.
Is that a common procedure?
Not common, but not uncommon among the transgender gun community.
Well, I need to learn more about it.
Well, the books about it are in aisle 31B.
I'll go check it out. Thank you, Professor Boobington.
My name is Carrie. Don't call me that.
And so I went to aisle 31B. It was difficult to identify the correct book. Also, I didn't know how to make sense of the contents, but eventually I found a book with a cat and a gun on the front cover. I figured this was it. I went back to the front desk.
Find what you were looking for?
I think so. I'd like to check this out, please. I'd also like to check you out.
Please, stop talking to me that way.
What way?
You're being disrespectful. I'm a professional, and I don't like being objectified.
Oh, I don't mean to be disrespectful, dollface.
You did it again. I'm not your dollface.
Well, you don't find me charming?
Not even a little bit.
But this is just what I'm like, baby cakes.
I need you to either change the way you talk to me, or get out of this library.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not get combative, sugar cheeks.
You've had it. Get out.
All right. I can tell I'm not wanted.
I can see you putting the book in your trench coat. Leave the book.
I can't pull anything over you, sugar tits. You are just so...
Get out. Get out right now.
I had to leave the library and leave the book behind. But it was my only lead. I needed to know about this blastoplasties. It was time for a library heist. The library heist was an important caper for my knowledge of blastoplasties. But I didn't know who would help me. Everyone knows to have a good heist, you need to have at least 3 hardened criminals. I knew quite a few as a detective. Anyway, there are a couple of roles you need to fill. You need a face, the brains, and the muscle. Looking down at my ripcord body, I knew that I was the muscle. So I needed the face and the brains. The brains would plan out everything and eventually read the book to me because I'm illiterate. The face would talk to outsiders, lie to them, and mislead them about our true purpose. You have to have a good lawyer to run a heist. And I knew one from earlier on.
Hello, who is this?
It's me, your detective.
Have you found my darling cat, Chekhov?
Not yet, my fair lady, not yet. But what I do have is a lead.
Then why aren't you pursuing it?
I need your help. You did such a good job lying to me about omitting critical details about the case. I need you to lie to someone else.
Anything for my beautiful, wonderful, adorable cat. I'll come right to your office.
I had the face, and I was the muscle. So now I needed the brains.
Hello?
Mitch, it's your old pal, Captain Bagel.
Oh, hello, friend. Need anything?
As a matter of fact, I do. You knew so much about gender-affirming care. I realize you're a really quite a clever person. So I want you to be the brains of this heist I'm coordinating.
A heist? Will it involve anything illegal?
Well, you know, you'd be the brains, so you'd ultimately decide what the plan is. But yes, most heists involve illegal activity.
Hmm, I'm not sure.
Well, there's another C note in it for you if you come along. The job pays well.
No. Fuck it, I'm not doing anything anyway. Sure, I'll join your heist.
It was turning into a real humdinger of a caper. With the face and the brains and the muscle, we were ready to pounce, and pounce we did. First, Antoinette entered the library.
Hello there.
Hi, I'd like a library card, please.
No problem. Please fill out these forms.
Here.
Thank you.
Then Antoinette navigated to the exact location on the map I drew. She called me.
Is the book called Blastoplasties and You?
Now, I didn't want people to know that I was illiterate. It's a little embarrassing. So I answered her as best as I could. It has a cat and a gun on the front cover.
But that's the name of the book?
Ma'am?
I don't remember the name of the book.
What?
Ma'am?
How can you not remember?
Ma'am, please don't talk on your cell phone in the library.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess this will have to do.
Antoinette returned to the front desk.
I'm sorry about that. This is what I was looking for, I think.
That's fine. Please just make sure it doesn't happen again.
Then, according to Mitch's brilliant plan, my client Antoinette borrowed the book from the public library using the library card she obtained earlier. She then discreetly joined us in the parking lot.
I got the book. What do you need to know about Blastoplasties for?
This book is pretty basic, Captain Bagel. Was this all you needed?
Well, if it's so basic, Mitch, why don't you just summarize it for us? Mitch looked at the back cover, and by some process I don't understand, he had an entire summary of what was in the book.
This book discusses the process of blastoplasty, a gender-affirming operation that turns a male cat or person into a female gun. The procedure usually involves putting the subject, usually a cat, into a box, adding a subatomic particle, and then reopening the box after a period of time. The patient will either turn into a gun or die, depending on the state of the subatomic particle when the box is opened.
Wait, did you say they could do it to people as well?
That's what it says here.
Fascinating. Does one have to turn into a female gun to obtain a blastoplasty?
Yes, that's the process.
What does this have to do with my checkoff?
Miss Antoinette, I'm here to tell you, Chekhov the cat is no more. There's only Schrodinger the gun. A pink .22 Derringer, to be exact. She underwent a blastoplasty.
Is that why she ran away? Did she think I wouldn't accept her?
She also wanted to smoke freely without worrying about your reaction to secondhand smoke. Oh, at least I assume. I haven't talked to her yet about it.
My poor Schrodinger. Didn't know I would accept her for who she really is. Is it because I conform to every gender stereotype?
Relax. We'll find out what Schrodinger's motives were for running away.
Do you know where she is?
Yeah. She's a bartender at the Rainbow Alley.
Take me there, Captain Bagel. Take me there at once.
Well, it's a gay bar.
Yes?
Yeah, and I'm straight. So I can't go to a gay bar. I wouldn't be welcome.
Well, of course you'd be welcome. You're fine.
Really? I thought that going to a gay bar was the same thing as standing on a rooftop and shouting out about how you like Tom Cruise's butt in the volleyball scene in Top Gun.
No. And is that your idea of what being gay is?
Well, is there any other way to understand it?
Let's go to the bar, Captain Bagel. Straight away.
And then I didn't have time for an epilogue. We went straight to the Rainbow Alley. After learning that going to a gay bar didn't necessarily mean that I was a homo, I realized I had to go back to where it all began, the Rainbow Alley, full of gay talking cats.
Also, there was Schrodinger, the talking gun I was supposed to be looking for.
I can't wait to see her.
Now relax, dollface. I told you earlier, any display of emotion makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, but that's all I know how to do. I emote vigorously.
Don't I know it. We walked under the rainbow arch into the bar. Homosexuals were everywhere. And somehow I found I didn't mind. Behind the bar was the same talking pink 22 Derringer I had met earlier.
Schrodinger, my darling companion.
Antoinette.
Give me a big hug.
I never thought I'd see you again.
My dear, however did you decide to leave home and become a bartender here in the big city of Austin? You're an independent woman now, or rather, an independent gun.
As they were talking, I noticed something on Schrodinger's waist. Hey, wait a second. Is that a .44 Magnum?
Why, yes.
But that's a man's gun.
It's my gun.
But that's a gender-inappropriate gun. For a pink talking 22 Derringer to own a .44 Magnum? It boggles the mind.
We don't all have to conform to stereotypes, honey.
Wait. You can be a woman and own a .44 Magnum?
Captain Bagel, I appreciate your work in finding my long-lost cat. I mean, my long-lost gun, Schrodinger.
I didn't think you'd accept me, Antoinette.
Why, my darling? Why?
Because you conform to every gender stereotype. I didn't think you'd understand my real gender.
I knew it.
Oh, what a display of emotion. I mentioned earlier about how I feel about those.
This isn't about you.
There.
Schrodinger, as much as it hurts that you abandoned me, I want you to know that I love you just the way you are. Cat, gun, person, whatever. You are my best friend in Austin, Texas, and the entire world.
I'm sorry I left you.
I love you anyway.
And then they hugged. After collecting my commission, I walked away, slowly. What a case. A cat that became a gun. A gay bar that didn't indoctrinate. A Derringer who owned a Magnum. It made my head spin. And even though it was scary, I knew exactly what I needed to do next. It was time. It was time for a change. It was many months later. I was changed. Changed. After a period of time, I started to realize that the way I spoke to women was wrong. Constantly calling them sugar tits was disrespectful. And I didn't know where this realization came from, but I knew I needed to change. And so I did something drastic. I went to therapy. And in therapy, I had all sorts of outrageous realizations. My misogyny was a front. It was just a way to keep myself distant from women, when deep down, I related to them. And from there, it was clear. It was just so obvious.
You realize, of course, that the procedure is irreversible.
I know, Dr. Vandentrap, I know.
That it is a not insignificant risk of death during the surgery. It all depends on a subatomic particle, too small for me to manipulate.
There's only one way forward in my life. I will risk anything to become a better person.
Well, you won't be a person, Captain Bagel. You'll be a gun, and a lady gun at that.
That's right, dear listener. I knew it was time. Time for my own blastoplasty. Not only did I find out that I was a woman in therapy, I realized I had always wanted to become a gun. All those years of all that sexism were partially because I was transgender without realizing it. I was an egg, as they call it. Yes, Doc. But make me a .44 Magnum, not a pink .22 Derringer.
Are you sure? That's a very butch choice, especially since you're becoming a woman.
I'm sure. I'm just a butch sort of woman, is all.
All right, then. Time for you to get in the box.
I got into the special surgery box. Vandentrap sealed it, and I was on the brink of life and death. Kaleidoscopic colors assaulted me. My life flashed before my eyes. All my womanizing and sexism were sources of shame now. I hoped I'd be able to make it all right. Then the box opened. I looked down, and the procedure was successful. I was a gun, a .44 Magnum. I was elated. Of course, the work wasn't over yet. Over the years, I would always find new ways to express myself as a woman and as a gun. But after the blasterplasty, I could look myself in the mirror and see the real me. I thought I was a hard-boiled detective, but this whole experience boiled me even further. And I realized all this time, I was a hard-boiled egg.